always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump just weighed in on the Russia-Ukraine talks and Secretary of State Marco Rubio's indication the U.S. could move on if there's no progress soon. CBS's Natalie Brand with the president at the White House.
And Marco is right in saying it. We want to see it end. Think of it. Every day, a lot of people are being killed as we talk about, as they play games.
The president was also asked about the case of the Maryland man mistakenly deported to El Salvador. Senator Chris Van Hollen returning after visiting that man. CBS's Scott McFarland.
We expect him to talk about what went on in that meeting. He has said very little about the content of that meeting with Abrego Garcia. We'll expect to hear more of that today.
Skylar Henry has the latest on the alleged shooter at Florida State.
He used the service weapon of his stepmother, a local sheriff's deputy who was actually awarded the Employee of the Month last March, an 18-year veteran who actually works as a school resource officer here in Leon County.
CBS News Brief.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. If you live in or own a business in Stevens Point, the police department is asking that you be on alert for a scam that fraudulently claims to be from city departments. Fake invoices that seem to be coming from departments such as the Planning and Zoning Commission ask that you send payment by wire transfer. The invoices request payment for services such as inspections and application reviews. The city of Stevens Point will never ask for payment by wire transfer. All official city correspondence will come from an email that ends in @stevenspoint.com or other verified government domain. Also, an official phone number will always be included in any communication. The Stevens Point Police Department is calling this a more sophisticated scam that appears credible. If you receive any questionable correspondence claiming to be from the city, feel free to contact City Hall directly to verify the request. Report any suspicious invoices or communications directly to the police to help protect yourself and the community. Easter is this Sunday. If you're coloring and hiding Easter eggs, you may feel like you have to take out a loan. Joanne Krulatz has more on egg prices and Easter celebrations.
The internet has offered up a host of alternatives as egg prices continue to be stubbornly high. Influencers are dyeing everything from marshmallows to potatoes. There has been a lot of interest from price-conscious parents as U.S. egg prices increased again last month to reach a new record high of $6.23 per dozen. Relief could be coming. There is evidence that prices are falling and grocery stores may start offering discounts to get shoppers in the door. But even with that, egg prices are higher than ever. That has the idea of coloring potatoes or rocks, which first made the rounds after a 2023 price spike, making a resurgence.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Is it Dane time? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks face the Pacers in the playoffs tomorrow at noon. Damian Lillard able to practice after dealing with deep vein thrombosis the past month. The story on ESPN.
I'm told he is still out game one. He's going to use the next several days to ramp up. But this is really a remarkable recovery for Damian Lillard, a guy a lot of people thought maybe would not even have came back.
Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
It's not like he's been injured and working out. He's been injured without working out. That's hard.
Baseball tonight, the Brewers host the A's. In Green Bay, the NFL draft is next week. Will Jair Alexander be back with the pack? Jordan Love.
That's a great question. Talk to Ja, see what the deal is. But, Ja, he's got his own world going on. I'm going to let him handle his business and see what's going on. But that's my guy right there. He's definitely a player we need back. Just the play style he plays, who he is on the field. I mean, that's a guy we need.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
More clouds than sunshine today and a bit breezy, but still mild with high temperatures making it to the upper 50s. Of course, scattered showers are still likely and they ramp up again this evening. Then after the cold front passes, we'll be cooler tomorrow with highs in the mid-50s and partly sunny. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 57.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news? You've been arrested. Good news? You're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your timing, Goodfellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad lib to De Niro. He's like security, and you're just like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And wow. He said, make sure you don't call it ad libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, Laura Bird is back. The author and tireless bookstore promoter helps mark Independent Bookstore Day with ways you can support a local business.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome into hour number two of the big program. It is 6 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock on TGIF Friday, April 18th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Great to have you along here at the end of the week. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Doug Moe, great columnist, author. His new work called Saving Hearts and Killing Rats. It is a fascinating read, and I'm only a few pages in. It's about the professor at UW-Madison who created warfarin. Really, really fascinating. Doug's going to be here and talk about that in just a little bit. We're going to try to get to a what's worse on chips and beer. But first, Mr. Summers, we have seen, and this is Finn, this is why I love doing this show. This is why I'm fortunate to have the best job around.
And why you love doing it live.
Why I love doing it live. Because I saw this article this morning, last night, whatever it was, and it's on WISN Channel 12 in Milwaukee. Headline, Wisconsin election meeting erupts as chair silences commissioner over ballot shortage. So to set this up again, we got people on the line. We'll get to the phone calls in a second. Yesterday, the Wisconsin Election Commission meets. And the reason I chose this was to single out Bob Spindell. And to bring attention that this guy is a stooge, a boob, a whack job, a liar. And he's still on the commission that oversees Wisconsin elections. That's what I thought was the newsy part. That's what I thought was interesting. So that the commission meets, and the purpose of the meeting was to deal with the city of Madison, where there were 200 and some odd ballots that did not get counted right away in the spring election. And so the election commission was meeting to figure out the election before, like the primary. Anyway, it wouldn't have mattered in the elections. It was an oversight. The Madison clerk has now resigned because of this. And so the election commission was following up as they should. That was the agenda. Bob Spindell starts going on about Milwaukee ballots, which was not on the agenda. It was not germane. The commission could not take it up. And the important part for me is Bob Spindell is one of these fake electors from 2020 that tried to overturn the legitimate, free, and fair election of 2020, in which Joe Biden won the election in Wisconsin and America, and Donald Trump lost in Wisconsin and America. And Republicans created this fake slate of electors. They gave it to U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, who muled it to the U.S. Congress and tried to get Pence to use those votes instead of the legitimate ones. Bob Spindell has attempted to steal an election in this state. But yet he's still on the election commission. So yesterday they bring this up, and so the chair, Ann Jacobs, gets into a shouting match with him. And I just commented that they're shouting back and forth like kids. And people seem to be more interested in my comment on that than what I thought the news was, which is fine. I just find it fascinating. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's play the cut, because instead of me talking about it, you can decide. Here is the cut. Bob Spindell and Ann Jacobs going back and forth yesterday at the Wisconsin, at the Wisconsin Election Commission.
Bob, this coupled with a black curtain and constant drums need to be locked out, and I would hope that
I am not going to let you keep going, Bob.
Problems coming up.
I'm going to talk.
Well, you hear it there. Fireworks at a state election.
That was part of Channel 12 coverage. And it kept going, which, as someone who worked in government a long time, I just found entertaining. Because I've been in a lot of committee meetings, and rarely does it go back and forth quite like that. Again, I'm not saying that the chair didn't have the right to try to gavel him down. I just found it entertaining. That was it. I thought the point of the story was a guy who tried to steal elections in 2020 is still making trouble today in Wisconsin elections. But what do you think? 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Brian in Milwaukee, listening to WAUK. Brian, what say you?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, it's complete, you know, joke that, you know, the guy tried to, you know, overtalk everything. But, you know, the other thing is I've been on a lot of committees and boards before with nonprofits and such. And one of the things I was always introduced to was a handbook called the Robert's Rules of Order.
Thank you.
You know, and how everything should be done. It was one of the things, first time being on a church board, one of the members who was on the previous board said, hey, here's a handbook I have. You can get it on Amazon. Read it. It's everything you need to know about a board. And when I finally did work with another LGBT organization, national organization, and founded a chapter in the Milwaukee area, that was the first thing I told everyone that wants to be on the board. This is the book you get. This is what we're going to read. These are the way we're going to do things, you know.
Yeah.
And if you're out of order, you're out of the board. We're not going to stand up for this. You know, you're going to have to follow the rules that we put into place, yeah. You know. So
no,
there's the right and the wrong way of doing things.
I told and Spindell was clearly out of order. You can't, you know better than anybody else, knowing Robert's Rules of Order, you cannot bring up things on an agenda or the things that are not on the agenda, unless there's like time at the end where every member gets to have a personal privilege of two minutes or whatever.
Say something.
Right.
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 But you can't bring up business that's not on the agenda.
Or you put it on a future agenda, but
correct.
You don't. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the same page. Thanks, Brian. Really appreciate the call. Thanks for hanging around. 855-752-4842. Out to Los Angeles we go. L.A. Tom, thanks for calling. L.A., what say you?
Well, I guess everyone's just learning from our president by, you know, acting like him. There is no consequences for acting badly anymore. In fact, you get free press out of it. It becomes a story. It becomes clicks. It becomes where people go and see things. You know, if I agree with Joe, you know, if you're not coming to the table in good faith, then you know what? Enough with this being Mr. Nice Guy or Nice Person, and it gets you nothing. It gets you nothing. It doesn't get you a press. I mean, you get press, like you were saying, Pete Buttigieg is throwing some F-bombs around. You know what? Probably doing it partially so you get some media. Because otherwise, the media does not cover anything if it's, you know, people just protesting out in the streets. But boy, oh boy, if there's a fire of some sort, they're covering it.
But don't you think?
I'm not in favor of people setting fires and things like that. But I'll tell you what, it's the only way sometimes you get the media.
Well, here's my, and I'm very interested in your take on this, LA, because you follow this stuff. And I'm a huge Pete Buttigieg fan. I supported him in the primary last time he ran when Biden got the nomination. I would love to see him run again. But one of the many things that draws me to Pete Buttigieg is he's so darn smart. But he doesn't do it from an intellectual's talking down point of view. It's very casual in real words, putting the facts out there and making his point without dropping the F-bombs, without seeming to be hyper, whatever, whatever. And the fact now that he's out of office and thinking about running for whatever, he said he's not going to run for what? U.S. Senate, maybe governor, I don't know, maybe president again. Now on social media, he's dry, and it seems very forced, in my opinion. It doesn't seem like the guy I thought he was, or maybe this is the real Pete Buttigieg. I don't know. All I'm saying is I'm big on authenticity. I am far from perfect, but Zomers will tell you, the way that you hear me on the air is not dramatically different than when I'm not on the air.
Some may say not different at all.
and some people may say that's a bad thing, quite frankly. But I just I don't like I'm someone who still believes in respect and discourse, and I think that when the Democrats see that, that's giving away one of the high grounds of the Democratic Party when you're going against some of these hyper MAGA people who have no sense of discourse. Am I wrong? Tell me if I am.
Well, I agree with you 100%. My thing is, honestly, and you know, maybe people will shame me for saying this, but I honestly don't think the way the world is right now that we'll have a gay man as president, openly gay man as president, or a woman, whether a woman of color or a woman, period, as president, because of the fact that you have 52% of the people, white women. That how do we get past that? And it just seems to me like one of the stereotypes of being the gay man might be to be just Mr. Nice Guy. And if he's just Mr. Nice Guy, there's just so many different ways that you can go about hitting stereotypes with gay people, with women.
But LA, it's not personal to you. I just think that's such a cop out. I mean, you and I have both been very open about our sexual identity on this show. And a gay man to gay man, I think that's a complete cop out to say, well, people don't take me seriously as a gay man, so I have to act more masculine and swear more. My grandmother, as I've said on this show, was the first woman to be a dean in the in Wisconsin. And I'll tell you, she didn't get that way. She didn't break that glass ceiling because she was a witch. And I'll clean it up for radio. She did it because she worked her butt off and was relentless and was stubborn. And she got people with more honey than vinegar. And she was successful. And that's the way she...
I agree with you. And I think women... Todd, I agree with you. And I think women actually can move up the ladder that way and be like the head of people that also respect them. But for some reason, the hardest and highest class ceiling of the president of the United States is a different thing. Because people can shape public opinion and shape people in a certain way. And it just seems to me that whether it's women, whether whoever it is, there's a really, really easy way to be able to shape them as suspicious, as I'll even use the word cat-like, that is interwoven into the fabric of our society. Whereas a white, straight man can kind of go and drink some beers and crack some heads, and he's basically, you know, still cool.
Yeah.
A woman does anything even near that, she's done.
Yeah.
And I think you know that already.
Yeah, I appreciate the call as always, Tom. Thanks so much. 855-752-4842. We'll come back. We have Gian on the other side. Holly in Madison says, missing the point. You are normalizing Spindell's behavior by saying it was entertaining or humorous. It's disrespectful and humiliating, and the speaker should have thrown him out. I'm not saying that. I'll say it on the other side. Stay tuned. Thank God it's Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While corrosive democracy news from Washington continued this week, state news ranged from good in Delaware and Mississippi, mixed in North Carolina and Pennsylvania, to downright ugly in New Hampshire. Voting Rights Lab reports the Delaware Senate advanced SB 2 and SB 3, constitutional amendments allowing 10 days of early voting and no excuse absentee voting. Legislative versions of both bills passed last year, but the Delaware Supreme Court found that the state constitution didn't enable them. The General Assembly must pass them again next year for them to be adopted. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ordered Mississippi to redraw state Senate districts for DeSoto County, which it found violated the 1965 Voting Rights Act by diluting a majority black section of the county, according to Mississippi Today. State officials in North Carolina found fewer issues among the 5,000 military and overseas voters than the Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin claimed, but the highly questionable post-election review of voter eligibility continues. Pennsylvania Attorney General Dave Sunday appealed a federal court ruling directing county officials to count otherwise eligible mail-in ballots without a date. The New Hampshire Senate advanced SB 213, which would require voters applying by mail for an absentee ballot to enclose a copy of their birth certificate, U.S. passport, or naturalization papers, almost certainly disenfranchising otherwise eligible voters. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail, hippity hopping, Easter's on its way.
You see, we had a whole segment on Peeps and Easter. We were going to do it. It was going to be the fun half hour, you understand? A nice Friday, Good Friday show. Peter Cottontail? No, people, I don't know. I find this very fascinating. Welcome back to the show. 21 past the hour, 1 o'clock, the Todd Allball Show with Aaron Zomers, April 18th. Great to have you along. I this is educational for Todd. I did a story. I thought this would be 8 minutes. It's been, what, 40? WISN Channel 12 in Milwaukee was there covering the Wisconsin Election Commission yesterday. And the point of the story was that Bob Spandella's the bad guy. He tried to steal an election in Wisconsin and America in 2020. He's part of the fake electors, the Republican fake electors. Somehow, he's still on the Wisconsin Election Commission. And he was causing trouble yesterday by bringing up an item, Milwaukee ballots, with lies, by the way, on that. And it was not on the agenda. It was non-germane. That was the point of the story. And he gets into a shouting match with Commission Chair Ann Jacobs, who's gaveling him down and going back and forth. I just thought I found it entertaining. They were acting like kids. And now people are saying Todd is somehow the bad guy because Democrats are pissed and we're not going to take it anymore. Okay, fine. I just, again, my point is there combined with the Evers story earlier of kind of doing these, and the Supreme Court today of Wisconsin upheld Evers' actions. It's legal. I don't deny that. It's getting more money to public education. I think that's a great thing. My only point is that it's disingenuous then for Democrats to come back and say somehow that they have more character or more higher moral ground. You can't have it both ways. That's my only point. So let's just all be honest with each other and say we're just going to get down in the mud and fight.
You know what my opinion on all this is?
What?
I think that you and the callers and texters disagreeing with you are having parallel conversations and you're all agreeing.
What my old boss Dale Schultz would say, I think we're in the heat of agreement.
Yes, absolutely. That's what I think it is.
And maybe it is.
I think that what might be happening is people might be combining your 2 points, saying that Evers, what he did might not be the right way to do things because he abused a role of power, and that Bob Spindell is, in your words, a boob. And they're saying they might be thinking that you're criticizing the chair for maybe.
No, she was doing the right thing. And again, I'm not even saying that Evers abused his power. Not at all. It's found constitutional. I'm just saying that politically, I'm not sure that's the best. I get why he did it. I'm just not sure that's politically expeditious. That's my only point on that.
Right.
And I don't think that Ann Jacobs, the chair of the election commission, is wrong to say that Spindell is out of order. Clearly he was. All I might even say she did it the wrong way. All I said was I found it entertaining.
Right. So again, I think it's the heat of agreement.
Let's go to Gene. Gene in Eau Claire. WCFW the tap. Gene, you were a teacher. You were in education. Do I need to be put in a corner with a dunce hat?
No, I wasn't a teacher. I was okay.
A counselor.
Yeah. Anyway, you're a warm, loving soul. But in our climate today, things are very hazardous. And when we sit there and we watch the garbage dumps by the mega malls, it's very infuriating. And I'm very careful. I'm not usually a cusser, but you should see me going after my TV every day, whipping the finger to the big guy. So, you know, times are tough, and we have to get rid of our stress the best way that we can.
Agreed.
So you keep us. Keep up the great work, Todd.
Well, thank
okay?
you. And happy Easter, though. Gene. Have a nice weekend. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Yep,
appreciate you. I just find it all very, very, very interesting. And that's, I don't know. I just, we should dial up some Kenny Chesney, get along. Can't we all just get along? That's my only point. As one of my good friends from politics once said, you know, if people can't take a joke, it's just having a little, look, I get it. We're all a little on edge, right? We're all a little on edge, but I think we would all do well, myself included, if we didn't take every single thing out there so personal and breathe. As the kids say, touch grass, go for a walk, calm down a little bit. I'm not saying get rid of the passion or don't take your focus off all the crises we have in America today. But the point of this story here, in my opinion, is that Bob Spindell is not a good person. And he has no business, as we say back home, no business being on the Wisconsin Election Commission. That's all I'm saying. Whistler WRCE in Richland Center. Whistler calling in. Whistler, what do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what, Todd. I have to agree with you on the fact of Spindell still being on the commission. And, you know, one of your bylines is, and having fun doing it. And that's what you're yes. doing, man.
Thank you.
You're getting the word out there, and you're enjoying it.
Thank you.
You know, and
so you get
I love it. It's awesome.
We appreciate
Keep it.
At it. Thanks, Whistler. See, he gets hey, it. Right. He gets it. Have fun doing it. Have a little fun. Rob, listening in on the text line, says, I think a bigger issue these days is we're supposed to pick a side in all issues. But the only opinion that matters is that of the far left or the far right. No one is allowed to lean towards the middle. It is frustrating because I want a party that represents me from the middle, the moderate opinions and policies. I want compromise. Seems like an impossible ask, unquote.
I do not think you are alone.
Best take of the day, in my opinion, on this issue. Best take of the day. And I understand to a large degree people's anger and being ticked off and feeling like, well, we have to be so animated because no one's listening. We're tired of being the quote unquote good guys. I get that. But I think what Rob is saying here is that both sides are trying to push their voters, their base, more towards the extremes. And if you even, I mean, we've seen it here in the Capitol, that if you even have dinner with a legislator from the other party, you're taken off of committees. Not healthy for democracy. What is? Doug Moe. He's going to be in, great author and columnist next. His new book called Saving Hearts and Killing Rats. Back after this, the All Bull Show on Civic Media.
Drink a beer, sing a song, make a friend, can't we all get along?
Locally grown radio, WFHR. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A new ruling today from the Wisconsin Supreme Court dealing with the unique powers given to our governors
and their decision should support school funding for hundreds of years. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
When he was signing the state budget, Governor Tony Evers used his veto powers to lock in school funding for the next 400 years. And now the Wisconsin Supreme Court rules that was legal. Wisconsin is the only state where the governor has line item veto powers, meaning a governor can just cross out words or punctuation or numbers or parts of a bill and change its meaning. The court was split along party lines. Soon-to-be Chief Justice Jill Karofsky wrote that this move was within the bounds of the Wisconsin Constitution. Meanwhile, Justice Brian Hagedorn said the state constitution does not allow for this power. Historically, it's been used by both Republicans and Democrats. The governor's veto means that school funding will increase $325 per pupil per year until 2425.
The Trump administration's 2026 budget passback plan that's currently under consideration eliminates NOAA's Oceanic and Atmospheric Research Office and its 10 research laboratories and 16 affiliate cooperative institutes. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot explains.
If the plan is enacted, it would close all of NOAA's weather, climate, and ocean laboratories and cooperative institutes. And without that research, the National Weather Service weather models and products will stagnate. Observational data collection will be reduced, public outreach will decrease, and undergraduate and graduate student support will drop. The scientific backbone and workforce needed to keep weather forecasts, alerts, and warnings accurate and effective will be drastically reduced. This could lead to unknown and disastrous consequences for public safety and economic health.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Nate Bargatze's star continues to rise. The comedian is selling out theaters and has multiple TV and film projects in the pipeline. As it turns out, he wasn't busy enough, so he will host the 77th Emmy Awards broadcast. Bargatze calls the gig a huge honor to host such an iconic awards show and added that he is beyond excited to work with CBS to create a night that can be enjoyed by families around the world. Huh. You might not have heard Amanda Bynes' name in a while, but the former child star is excited to announce that she is now on OnlyFans. That's right, the What a Girl Wants star says fans can interact with her for just $50 a month. But hold on, perverts, there is a catch. Bynes says she will not offer any racy content. I know what you're thinking. I already pay OnlyFans thousands of dollars a month to watch attractive women bake cookies and read scripture. Good luck, Amanda. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
More clouds than sunshine today and a bit breezy, but still mild with high temperatures making it to the upper 50s. Of course, scattered showers are still likely and they ramp up again this evening. Then after the cold front passes, we'll be cooler tomorrow with highs in the mid-50s and partly sunny. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 58.
Heavy rain and rising groundwater can turn your basement into a disaster zone overnight. A failing sump pump means water damage and expensive repairs. Don't wait. Tri-City Services installs and services high-quality sump pumps to keep your home dry. Don't risk thousands in water damage. Call Tri-City Services at 715-423-5840.
We're not comfortable.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabe, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Maggie Dawn.
At 2:30, we're going to play a little Which Whopper's Worst. And I'm not talking about burgers. Which lie of the week is the worst lie? Tune in.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 now past the hour of 1 o'clock on this Friday, TGIF, April 18th, 2025. more fun doing it. That's what we need, Somers. It's Easter week. Go to an egg hunt. Well, tomorrow, because weather on Sunday not supposed to be so great. But just great. I appreciate all the discussion last hour and a half here on that. That's why I do this show. That's why I get excited about doing the show, in large part, because we can have discussions about that. So thanks, everybody. Appreciate that. Another reason I love doing this show is because my sister said this to me about 2 weeks ago. She goes, I think half the reason you do this show is just to talk to people that you want to talk to. I said, yes. Yes, you're absolutely right. And one of my favorite people to talk to, he's put on the show before. We're so happy to have him back. He is a great columnist, a great author, a great Madisonian, and he is a part of what makes Wisconsin great, in my opinion. He is Doug Moe, and he has a brand new work out called Saving Hearts and Killing Rats, a fascinating title. Doug Moe, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Good to be here.
It's fantastic to have you here. First of all, just how you been? Last time we talked to you, you are here with Professor Mike Lecrone from UW-Madison on his great book that I've got like one chapter left. I'm savoring it. Moments of Happiness. I know you've been touring a little bit with him. And how's that going?
It's gone really well. I'm happy for Mike. The book just went into its second printing.
Wow.
Actually, which is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And Mike's actually making noise now about doing another book. So
love it. Love it. Hey, anytime
more you guys, moments of happiness.
Anytime you want to come back on that, we're happy to. Let's talk a little bit about your latest work here. Again, Saving Hearts and Killing Rats, as the song says, you had me at hello. Great title. Explain where this comes from, please.
Well, the subtitle is Carl Paul Link and the Discovery of Warfarin. Mm-hmm. And warfarin is a drug that a lot of people know about, but it's twofold. It is both a rat poison, mm-hmm. rodenticide, and a heart medicine, a blood thinner for humans. So I got first onto this when Carl Paul Link's lab at UW-Madison discovered it. In the 1930s, I first got onto it. His son, Tom Link, lives here in Madison, asked me if I'd be interested. At the time, I was writing 5 newspaper columns a week.
So there's that.
But I was, a decade ago, invited not to return to the newspaper business.
And, I remember it well, unfortunately. Mistake on their part.
Right.
I have the honor of being Doug Moe's last interview that did not run. What a huge mistake, in my opinion, was made. But that's another bottle of wine.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But I got back to Tom Link, and I proceeded. Mm. It's a wonderful story. I'm a little biased by this point. But it starts in 1933... Link is a roughly 30-year-old young professor at UW, and on a cold February morning, a farmer shows up at the biochem building. It was then the ag building, and he's got a dead cow, a bucket of cow's blood, and some sweet clover hay. his name was Ed Carlson. He was just 21 years old. His cows had been dying. If they rubbed up against barbed wire, for instance, and started to bleed, their blood wouldn't clot. It wouldn't stop. Mm-hmm. And they had some internal bleeding deaths as well. He was terribly frustrated and worried. And he tried to find the ag experiment station and couldn't. Or it was Saturday, I guess, and so maybe they were closed. He found his way to Link's lab. Link, luckily, was there. And, you know, denouement is it launched Link and his grad students on a 7-year, journey to find what it was that was causing these cows to bleed to death. And as it turns out, it was something in their feed. It was when the sweet clover got spoiled, got wet, they ate it. That's the thing that was the hemorrhagic agent that caused them. And Link and his assistants were able to isolate what it was in the sweet clover and recreate it synthetically and turn it into what was the first version, which was called dicumarol. Mm-hmm. And circa 1940 or so, it was patented by Worf here in Madison and used as a human anticoagulant.
I'm only, and Doug was so kind to send me an advanced copy, and I'm ashamed to say I'm only a few pages in so far, but one of the And you explained it very well, but maybe to some people say, well, I'm not so sure that a book on all this chemical, all this chemist stuff is going to be. But the way that, any way that you write everything, but the way you've written this, it's very user-friendly and it draws you into the narrative of this story.
Well, it helped that I was an English major and am not a scientist by any means. So, I had to kind of learn the language a little bit, but I tried to write it in a way that it's accessible for everybody. Also really helped, and this is the key, by the fact that Carl Paul Link was a fascinating guy.
Really?
Yeah. A brilliant scientist, but also a total iconoclast from everything from his dress. You know, he'd wear capes, a little Frank Lloyd Wright in him almost. And very much an anti-authoritarian. He sparred with the UW administration. Mm-hmm. He was actually censured by the Board of Regents. And he loved to point out that in that same meeting that they censured him, they gave him a raise.
so that is fantastic.
You know, so the book is a biography of Link, but the center of it, I guess, the through line, I guess, would be the discovery of warfarin. And of course, warfarin, as I say, it started out as a blood thinner for humans called dicumarol. Maybe 6 or 7 years in, Link had tuberculosis, and he spent a few different times in a sanitarium here in Madison, and the one in roughly the mid 40s, he started reading up about rodenticides, and it dawned on him that perhaps a stronger version of dicumarol might be used as a rat poison, and indeed, he had his lab graduates start working on that. They came up with a stronger compound, stronger than the dicumarol human anticoagulant, and ended up patenting that as well. And that was called warfarin, which is a combination of WARF, the Wisconsin Alumni Research Foundation, and coumarin, which is part of the scientific thing of what makes the anticoagulant actually work. So it's warfarin. And that was patented in the late 40s and became available, I think, as a rat poison circa 1951 or two. Really wildly successful, Todd. There were, you know, I found newspaper headlines worldwide about it. It was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
No. And then it also dawned on Link that, maybe a version of this warfarin, stronger than dicumarol, but maybe not as strong as the rat poison, could be used for humans, a human anticoagulant. Now they faced a large worry was, are people going to want to take something that's also a rat poison?
Right.
it's tweaked a little bit, and they called it warfarin sodium. Mm-hmm. The trade name is now Coumadin. But it took a little while, and it was, I think, 1955. Dwight Eisenhower famously had a heart attack while he was still president out in Colorado. And Link and his lab had trademarked warfarin as a human anticoagulant, but it hadn't gotten any real legs yet. And a former UW lab assistant of Link's wrote from Denver to Link, "President Eisenhower is taking one of your anticoagulants, and it's not dicumarol."
Right.
So all of a sudden, that really put warfarin on the map as something for humans.
What a connection. What a connection. We're talking with Doug Moe, journalist, author, and columnist. His latest book called Saving Hearts and Killing Rats, Carl Paul Link and the Discovery of Warfarin. Doug, a couple of thoughts from both sides of this story. My paternal grandparents were dairy farmers, and so I used a lot of warfarin on the farm to get rid of rats and rodents, that kind of thing. My maternal grandmother, who I talked about earlier in the show, of course, Marge Wallace, who was the first dean of a UW system college at UW-Richland, she had longtime heart problems, and she was a longtime taker of Coumadin. And she used to joke around about it and say, well, if anybody's got any rats, I can put a couple of these out. They can. And she goes, she'd tell people I'm on rat poison. That's what keeps me alive, joke around about it. But I just think how many people have their loved ones with them for how many more years because of this discovery?
Yeah, very true. And Link won what's called the Lasker Award, which is there's a Lasker Foundation. He won it twice. He's one of only a half a dozen people to ever win that twice, and it's widely viewed as a precursor for the Nobel Prize. Now, Link never did win that. There's some thought that it was his flair for controversy that may have prevented him from getting that highest of honors. One of his students, Stanford Moore, went on and won a Nobel. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Carl had studied with Fritz Pregel in Europe as a student, and Pregel was a Nobel winner, so he was all around it. But, you know, in the 1950s, Carl, he was faculty advisor for two different student organizations on campus here in Madison that both were very left-leaning, radical to a degree. Mm-hmm. And the UW, again, the Board of Regents kind of came after him for that, but he stood his ground. He famously feuded too, Todd, with one with Harry Steenbach, who was famous for figuring out that vitamin D could cure rickets. He was a scientist of Link's stature. Another unfortunate feud that Carl had was with one of his grad students, Mark Stommen, and it had to do with credit for discovering warfarin. And it's one of the more interesting chapters in the book. And in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel review, I think it was in that review, that the reviewers, and one of the reviewers said that how scientific credit is accredited, how it's given, the give and take. Mm-hmm. It's not always really clear, is one of the more intriguing parts of this story.
I encourage people not only to check out the book, but also this article that Doug mentioned, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, entitled Wisconsin Book of the Month, Saving Hearts and Killing Rats on Scientists Behind Warfarin. It's by Jim Higgins. It's really a great read, very complimentary, well-deserved, I might say, from what I've seen so far. I don't mean, we have about a couple minutes left here before, 3 minutes before the first break. I don't mean to draw politics too much into this and comment as much or little as you want. I just think this, as Mike Lucas likes to say, timely, timely indeed, with all this discussion of our universities right now in this country and the value, this book illustrates the life-saving value that our universities provide.
Of university research.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It more than crossed my mind now that this controversy, which, you know, I'll be honest, I'm definitely on the side of funding university research. I don't even see how that's political.
I know.
You know, I mean, Todd, you know, I did a book with a Republican governor, Tommy Thompson. And Tommy was a huge supporter of the university.
Yeah. Secretary of Health and Human Services.
It just made sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks for mentioning that. I hope that that in a way, stories like this from days past might shed some light on current reasons why we should think really hard about discouraging funding for research.
And yes, it's a great read and entertaining, if I can use the word, the way it's written and informative. But I just think so often in our political discourse, and last hour is probably a good example, we start kind of maybe talking past each other a little bit. People say, you know, well, what do we really get from universities? You know, and there's a lot of stereotypes. But here in this book, Saving Hearts and Killing Rats, Carl Paul Link and the Discovery of Warfarin, we find out exactly what our university system and why I believe the University of Wisconsin, the land-grant university, is one of the finest in the world.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
It's really, really a great read. We're coming up here about a minute or so before the break, and then we'll come back to talk a little bit more about this. But I also want to touch on another book you're working on with a guy that I was honored to get to know, former State Senator Fred Risser. What a guy.
Yeah, and Todd, that book is actually done. We just got the last blurb. You know, you ask people to, Tammy Baldwin gave a wonderful salute to the book.
Great.
So it'll be out in August.
We'll come back, talk more about this. Right now we're talking about Saving Hearts and Killing Rats with Doug Moe right here on a Friday edition of the Todd Allball Show. You're listening across the state of Wisconsin to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Get a sneak peek at the 2025 Wisconsin football team. Join us April 19th for Wisconsin Football Spring Showcase presented by UW Credit Union. The day kicks off with the Coles Kids Combine, followed by Badgers open practice at noon, featuring new faces like quarterback Billy Edwards Jr. and offensive coordinator Jeff Grimes. After practice, head to the field for photos with Badgers student-athletes. Tickets are $5 and free for football season ticket holders, UW students, and kids under 12. Claim your tickets for the Wisconsin Football Spring Showcase at uwbadgers.com.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Saturday, April 19th, Lake Arrowhead Easter Egg Hunt. Join the Easter Bunny for an Easter Egg Hunt on the Pines Driving Range. This event is open to both members and the public for children up to 12 years, starting at 10 a.m. sharp. Saturday, April 19th, Wisconsin Rapids Kiwanis 97th Annual Easter Egg Hunt at the Lincoln High School Staff Parking Lot, 16th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids. Activities will begin at 9 a.m., pictures with the Easter Bunny and some carnival-style games from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., and the egg hunt will start promptly at 10 a.m. at the sound of an air horn. Saturday, April 19th at 10 a.m., the Port Edwards Lions Club Easter Egg Hunt at Alexander Park, 210 2nd Street, Port Edwards. Port Edwards Community Easter Egg Hunt Saturday, April 19th, 10:15 a.m., immediately following the Lions Club Easter Egg Hunt. On the Port Edwards United Methodist Church lawn, there will be an Easter Egg Hunt at 411 Wisconsin River Drive. Special egg hunts for toddlers, candy-filled eggs, and golden egg prizes.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back to the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock. At the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our stations across Wisconsin you're listening to. A weather update. Remember, some strong storms. Madison over towards Milwaukee may be rolling through later this afternoon into tonight. Keep it tuned to wherever you get your local weather, because it could get bumpy here on out later into the afternoon. Our great sports reporter Mike Clemens is in with a sports update, and then it's another edition of the Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon from 2 until 4, and then later on from 6 until 8, our friend Pete Schwabe with Nightlight. Always a great way to cap off your week, Nightlight with Pete Schwabe starting at 6 o'clock. Right now we're talking to a wonderful guy, Doug Moe, author of Saving Hearts and Killing Rats. It's Carl Paul Link and the Discovery of Warfarin. He's a journalist, a columnist, a writer, all-around great guy. Doug Moe, I'm serious about this because there are two people, and Zomers will tell you this, I say it off the air, I say it to our co-executive producer, CP. There are two people that I'm just like, set me up with brandy or whatever you got there and let me listen to them. It's you and John Roach.
Yep.
And I think sometime if you're down this summer, because they just put out the Sunburst chairs at the Union, one of my favorite, if not the favorite place of mine in Madison. I'm thinking we'd do a show at the Union with you and John Roach one afternoon, and we just sit around and talk.
You know, I'm the guy that inflicted Roach on the Madison Magazine reading
really?
Public. I was the editor in 1992, I think it was, when John started his column. And I, you know, he was a friend, and he used to talk a lot at lunch and that sort of thing, talk smart.
Right.
And I'd say, well, you should, you know, stop talking and maybe write some of this stuff. And he did that back page column, and he ended up doing it. Who knew? But he ended up doing it for about 30 years.
It was awesome.
And Yeah, we'll do that.
This summer. All right. At hand here, I want to get to a couple of things. I got about 5 minutes plus here left. One quick, just a note on this, Doug. On the current work that we're talking about, Saving Hearts and Killing Rats, the story of Warfarin at UW Madison, one of our callers or watchers in L.A. Tom out there says, can I just take rat poison basically as medication? No. The answer is no, but you have a quick story about that.
Yeah, and it's in the book. There was a Navy serviceman who tried to commit tried to, he was despondent and tried to commit suicide by ingesting warfarin, the rat poison. And it didn't do him any good, but he didn't die.
Right.
And that was actually one of the springboards for Link to start thinking about, okay, maybe this rat poison in a slightly different form could be used as a human anticoagulant.
Wow.
The other quick one I'll share was when I was writing my newspaper column back in the early 2000s, a book came out by a Yale professor named Joseph Brent. It was a book on Joseph Stalin, the Soviet dictator. And it postulated that warfarin may have been used to kill Stalin.
Really?
Brent did not know even what warfarin was. I ended up interviewing him for the newspaper column. And as he had gotten some classified Russian documents, and he found it kind of a medical history, and he showed it to two doctors at Yale. Asked what does this look like? How did Stalin die? And they said, well, it looks like it was either cerebral hemorrhage or warfarin poisoning.
Wow.
That hasn't been proved either way, but you know, his generals were getting a little worried about Stalin, and who knows?
And to complete the circle, right? Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, because Brent, in our telephone interview, said, wouldn't it be ironic if one of the biggest rats in history was killed by rat poison?
Exactly. It was Stalin's daughters who ended up coming to Wisconsin to live out her life in my home county, Richland County.
I interviewed Svetlana. I spent an afternoon with her in her apartment in Richland Center.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there was a documentary film coming out about her. She was very private. Didn't ever give interviews.
Right.
But she got worried about this documentary film, and so she did a preemptive strike and called the State Journal and said, I will give an interview. I want to talk about the film. And I got lucky. I got to go up there and talk to her. And, you know, it was really quite amazing. We ended up really kind of becoming friends of a sort. Mm-hmm. We spoke on the phone a lot after that. But she gave me a quote that New York Times used as the final line in its obituary when Svetlana died. Wow. She was going by the name Lana Peters when she lived here. But at one point in our conversation, she said, it doesn't matter where I go, you know, India, Great Britain, France, Richland Center, I'll always be a political prisoner of my father's name. And I thought, wow. And I used that, of course, in my State Journal column. And like I say, the New York Times lifted it and closed their obit with it.
Incredible. Yeah. Powerful. I mean, almost goosebumps, really. The book is called Saving Hearts and Killing Rats, Carl Paul Link and the Discovery of Warfarin. It is an incredible read so far that I've gotten through it. I encourage. What is you're having a book signing? It comes out on when?
Yeah, May 8th at Mystery to Me in Madison on Monroe Street. It's a wonderful independent bookstore. Stu Levitan is going to be interviewing me, a historian and author. So it should be a fun evening.
Yeah, so May 8th, Mystery to Me Books on Monroe Street here in Monroe. Stop down. I have the pleasure
in
of
Madison.
I'm on Monroe Street in Madison. Thank you. Have the pleasure of meeting Doug Moe and getting to hear a little bit more about this great work. We'll have you back on again and talk about the Risser book coming out.
I'd enjoy that. That one's called Forward for the People.
Forward for the People.
The autobiography of America's longest serving legislator.
I was there when it
64
happened.
Years.
Yeah, it was an incredible mark where he became the longest serving legislator ever.
Fred turns 98 next month.
Love it. We always love having you, Doug Moe. Thank you very much. Appreciate you, my friend.
Thanks, Todd.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Maggie Dawn is next. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. Have a blessed and safe Easter weekend. We'll see you on Monday. Take care, everybody. Banging on your drum, and they will hear you.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll talk about the price of oil with Mr. Global and what that means for consumers. Hour number two, we'll talk about organ donation. I hope you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you.
Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Trump administration is standing firm in the case of a Maryland man mistakenly deported to El Salvador. That is Senator Chris Van Hollen returns after meeting with Kilmar Abrego Garcia. CBS's Scott McFarland.
Trump administration posting images of Abrego Garcia and the senator saying this is a bad look for Democrats to be side by side with an alleged gang member.
President Trump was asked about Secretary of State Marco Rubio's comments that the U.S. could move on from the talks on ending the war in Ukraine.
And Marco is right in saying it. We want to see it end. Think of it. Every day, a lot of people are being killed as we talk about, as they play games.
The latest on the Florida State victims from yesterday's shooting.
Those were gunshot wounds to extremities, chest, abdomen, all in rather stable condition.
Two people were killed. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
Hi.